Well, I thought we would get one more week of me being able to wear my Reds jersey to church without it being weird. I'm a huge Reds fan. They're a horrible baseball team right now. I know. I'm going to live with it. It's going to be okay. I'm going to root for them. I'm going to be excited for them. And we'll just, we'll just see what happens. Maybe next year. I feel like a Cubs fan. So we are ending our series this week called The Home Run Life. See a little bit of a baseball theme here. We have been looking at, over the last 4 weeks and now today, the way that we are to run the bases of life and how we are to run the bases of life the way that God intends us to run them and not the way that the world wants us to run them. Today we have rounded third and we are heading for home. Today we get to score. We've been running the bases the last few weeks, and today we actually get to talk about what it means when we cross home base, what happens when we cross home base. But to get us a little bit excited, let's see someone, a Major League Baseball player, running around the bases.
As they play Prince to pull, and he does. In the air to right, coming to get it. Gomez, he can't. This play backed up by Matt Carpenter, the second baseman, and Big Prince Fielder is going to motor all the way around the third with a triple.
Now, I don't know if you know a lot about Prince Fielder, but he is a large man, a very large man. And he, you could see him motor all the way around and got a triple. My guess is he hasn't had too many triples in his lifetime. You know, last week we talked about a five-tool player and how it's a player who is good at all five phases of the game. This is not Prince Fielder, right? He does not have foot speed, but when you hit it the way he does, sometimes you don't need it. That's a whole lot of man running around those bases. But here's the problem. He got stuck at third. Right? I mean, he worked so hard to get around first, around second, and slid head first into home. He was obviously excited about it, but he gets stuck at third. So often in our life, we get stuck. So often in our life, we get stuck at third, and getting stuck at third doesn't score a run. And in order to win this home run life that we're talking about, you have to score. You have to cross home base. So when you think about it, so many of us get stranded at third base, but let's go through and review real quick. If you haven't been with us before, I will go through this as quickly as I possibly can. At home base, we connect with God, right? We try to get that base hit. We connect with God, but we connect with His purpose and His power. There's no way you can connect with God without His purpose and without His power. You can try all you want. You can do everything that you want. You can come to church every single week, but if you aren't connecting with God's purpose and God's power, then you're just coming to church. So we connect with God, His purpose, His power, and we try to win in our character. This is the way that we are supposed to run the bases, where we look within, where we look at our integrity, where we look in the mirror and be able to say, I like the person, I trust the person, I believe in the person that's looking back at me. Because I've won within. The most important battle you can have is winning inside. And if we can win within, then the community opens up. Our relationships open up. We can start to win with others. When we haven't won in our character, then what we do is use others. But we win in our character, then we start to gain influence. We start to care and love for other people, and we win in community. And then last week, we talked about competence. The third base of competence. It is winning results. It is being the best at what you do. Whatever God has you, wherever God has you right now, being the best at that. And if we don't have character, then we cheat to get competence, to win results. And we use people. to be able to get to the place that we want. We want to climb up that ladder so we step on anybody to be able to get there. We cheat. We cheat this home run life. And so when you have character, when you win in community, when you start to win results, now you round third and you head for home and you start to win in the purpose that God has for you. We've run the basis. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2 says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." Then he says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, the way that the world wants you to run the basis, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his perfect and pleasing will." God's pattern is to run the bases the right way. But the pattern of the world says run them backwards. And if you have to cheat, go ahead and cheat. If you have a dream and you want to meet that dream, if you want to get to that place, just do whatever you have to get there. If you have to cheat to win, then go ahead and do it. But here's the problem. When we cheat to achieve the dream, we end up losing the dream. We end up losing the dream. Is it any wonder why we so often get stuck on base? We so often get stuck at third. Because we end up cheating, we end up getting stranded, we get stuck, we get left on base. So, how do we get all the way around? Because we don't get to third base and we're like, "Oh, I'm really good at what I do. Look, everybody is looking at me. I have gained influence in my sphere," whatever that is, and say, "I have arrived." Because eventually, you get knocked down. There's a whole nother 90 feet we got to run. There's a whole nother part of this life that we need to run. And what we're going to talk about today, that even when you get there, you don't stop. You don't stop. You keep running. So how do we get all the way around? How do we score? Well, there is one thing that we need to know, and there's a couple things that we need to do. One thing we need to know, we need to believe what God said through the prophet Isaiah in verse 66, chapter 66, verse 1. God said through the prophet Isaiah, "Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool." Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. I don't know what your view of God is, but when I look at those few simple words, my God is huge, right? If heaven is his throne and the earth is his footstool, he is huge. See, on this earth, in our lives, we tend to ascribe glory way too easily. I mean, we see it in sports all the time. I mean, just think a baseball. In the outside of a baseball field, there is a fence. And when you can hit it from here over that fence, that's a home run. Right? You can walk around the bases. That's what makes Prince Fielder so good. Right? He hits a lot of those home runs, and he doesn't have to run very fast. And then if when someone hits a home run, we go crazy. You know, we absolutely go crazy. You go to any professional baseball game, even to the Tin Caps, when someone hits a home run. I mean, we got fireworks, everybody's going nuts, you know, because they score right away. And we ascribe glory to that. And if someone can hit like 500 to 600 of those over the course of their baseball career, we might just then enshrine them in the Hall of Fame. We are really, really impressed. But the question I have is, what are we measuring them against? Why are we so impressed? We get so excited about the extraordinary accomplishments of humanity compared to other humans. We are so excited about something that someone does, and it's so amazing because we are comparing that to what another person is able to do. Think back in high school. When I was a freshman, I remember entering into that high school feeling so small. Of course, I was 4'7", weighed 87 pounds, so I was really small. But I remember walking around there and seeing all of these upperclassmen and these athletes, and they're wearing their letter jackets and everything. And I'm like, man, that's what I want to do. That's what I want to be. That's what I want to have. I want to have a letter jacket. If I could have a letter jacket, then the rest of high school is going to be a breeze, right? The rest of high school is going to be a breeze. You know, my life will actually have meaning when I get to don the letter jacket. I pulled my letter jacket out last night, and I still have it. And let me just say, I am not the same size that I was when I was in high school. All right? Not the same size as I was. I think I graduated at about 45 pounds less than what I weigh right now. So I didn't bring it with me. And plus it says Robbie right here. It's cute, I know. But how many people do you know that are stuck in the moment? How many people do you know from high school are still stuck in high school? Not literally, right? But that is the glory days. You know, how many people do you know, like Uncle Rico, are stuck there? Right? They have that moment. They have that glory because they were given a glory. They were ascribed glory. People looked up to them because of what they could do. Maybe that's you. I don't see anybody with a letter jacket on today. But I know, I'm sure some of you still have them. In reality, we are impressed way too easily. And we ascribe glory way too quickly. We are impressed way too easily and ascribe glory way too quickly. We get stuck on base. We get stuck living for the moments instead of living for the future and the purpose that God has for us. We need to raise the bar of what impresses us. We need to raise the bar of what impresses us. We need to raise our eyes and start giving glory to the one and only who deserves our glory. God. We will never make it in this home run life. We will never make it all the way around the bases. We will never cross home plate by making the pursuit of human glory our goal. If we want to make a lasting impact, we need to know, without a shadow of a doubt, we need to know that we exist for God and His glory, not our own. You exist for God and His glory and not our own. The Westminster Catechism in like 1680, something like that, was written, "The chief end of man is to give glory to God." Right, the ultimate thing that a man, a human, can do is to give God glory. Jesus spent so much time nailing this down in Scripture as he taught. He said in Matthew 6, verse 19 to 21, "Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And that passage is about collecting things and about having all of these things and going for, you know, more and more and more and more. But I think you can also talk about it being the glory that you get on your own. Don't collect for yourself all of these accolades. Don't read the press clippings. Don't read the newspaper articles about you. When you start to do that, you start to think of yourself more highly than you ought. And your goal in life would just be to gain more glory from someone else. In Matthew chapter 16, he says, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul?" God is inviting you to live so much larger. You can elevate yourself. You can work really hard to elevate yourself to a place where you're larger than life. You know, when we were at this conference and I saw some of those pastors, some of the pastors that were speaking, they're pastors of church of 20, 30, 40,000 people. There's a pastor of a church that came and he spoke and he has planted over 200 churches. To me, that's like in my sphere, that's larger than life, right? It's larger than life. And I'm sitting next to one of my friends who is also a pastor who is really having a really difficult time. And we were talking in between the break and he said, you know what? You know what they don't talk about? They don't talk about the fact that I have to do ministry all day and then I got to go home and I got to go pick up my children and then I got to make dinner and then I got to go run out to the hospital. I got to go run out and do these things. You know, they don't talk about those things. I want to hear somebody talk about those things. Like the hard stuff, the real stuff. You can elevate yourself as much as you want, make yourself bigger in life. But he's inviting us to live so much larger than that. So much larger than glorifying self. We need to know that we exist for his glory. This is our purpose. And when we know this, when we know this is true, we can actually start living it out. When our belief is that we exist for his glory, that we live for his glory, then the way that we live will start to act that out. So, if that's what we need to know, what do we need to do? What are a couple big swings we need to take in order to win this life? Number one is you need to do what you are created to do. Do what you're created to do. If you want a home run life, we need to bring our talents, our skills, whatever it is that God has blessed us with at third base, and bring them home. Bring them to home plate and start doing what he has created you to do by God's glory. So that means whatever you do in life, whatever that may be, whatever gift he has given you, you do it for God's glory as you are running home. Whenever something is fulfilling, its God-given purpose, God is glorified. Think about that. Whenever something is fulfilling its God-given purpose, God is glorified. We see it in the beauty of creation. You know, we are entering the season of spring. It's not coming near as quickly as I want it to. But we see the difference in just the creation as it goes from death to life. As trees come alive, as our grass comes alive, and we got to mow it. We see that. We in the fall, we'll see the exact opposite, but different. So now we go from green trees to colorful trees, and we get to see that in creation. It's how he's wired us. We get to see his beauty. That is how we are made. It's to see it. So that's why it's so obvious to us when we see something not being used for the purpose that it was created. So I have this piece of wood and I have this nail. Everybody knows that me doing this, it might eventually get that nail in the piece of wood, right? I might eventually be able to do that. If I just keep going long enough, I might be able to drive that in. But what am I doing? I'm destroying the book because it's not its purpose. The purpose of this book is not to drive in a nail. So I'm completely destroying the book. But if I use a hammer where the purpose is to drive the nail, I know you're all thinking, he's holding that thing and it's going to go right through his hand. I'm not hurting the hammer. Its created purpose is to drive a nail. It's what it's supposed to be doing. If I use a book, I just destroy it. This is why it's so obvious when we see something not being used for its purpose. So I have a couple pictures here. You might call it redneck ingenuity, but here's a couple things. That is the front of a car and the back of a bike. Anyway, not the way it should be. And look, it's pulling a trailer. Yeah, I don't have a tire. I don't have a wheel, so I'll just put a cart back there and hold on tight. And then maybe the greatest of all redneck ingenuity, the tool of all rednecks, duct tape. There's a ceiling fan, that's right. Now, some of you guys were sitting there and you're like, that's genius, right? But most of the time, it's really just weird. See, this is one of the reasons why sin doesn't glorify God. Instead, what sin does is it damages you and it hurts others. We're not created to live in sin. That's why God went so far, all the way to sending his son to die on a cross, because we weren't created to live that way. It damages us and it hurts others. If you ever think that your sin only hurts you, you've got another thing coming. It damages you, but man, it hurts everyone within your sphere of influence. It's not what we were created to do. It's not the way we were created to live. We were created to ascribe glory to God and God only. And when we violate created purpose, value becomes distorted. When our created purpose is violated by sin, whatever it may be, our value gets distorted. There's something inside of us that just resonates when you see someone or something fulfilling its God-given purpose. When we see someone do the hard thing, to do the right thing, no matter what. When we see somebody winning in their character, having integrity, even when it is really hard to do, even when it's going against everybody else, when we see that, we start to see them win within, we see them fulfilling their purpose. When we see a mother holding a child, caring for a child, when we see an adult child care for their elderly parents, we see them living in their God-given purpose. And it gives God glory. When we see a teacher go above and beyond, stay after school, work all night in order to get that one student to learn, we see them fulfilling their God-given purpose, and it makes such a huge difference in our world. The Apostle Paul understood this. He writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Whatever you do, everything you do, do it all for God's glory. All of it. And all means all of it. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of God, which then makes us ambassadors. So the second thing that we need to do, number one, we need to do what we're created to do. And number two, we need to keep running the bases. Anybody play mat ball? Anybody know what mat ball is? Okay, so mat ball is a lot of fun. And I didn't know what it was growing up, but I learned what it was later. But we play this at camp. So we get out these huge mattresses, and we place them as bases. I mean, like, they're mattresses, like real mattresses. And there's a couple really weird rules. Not only are there mattresses around, but it's like kickball. And when you kick the ball, the first thing you have to do is run to third base, right? You're running backwards. So your instinct is automatically to take a few steps towards first, and then you realize, oh, wait, I'm going the wrong direction. You got to go to third base. So that's one rule. But the other really weird, no, a couple other really weird rules. One of them is you can have as many people on base as you want. That's why we use mattresses. So you can have 10 people on base, right? You don't have to keep running. There's 10 people on base. But when you run, you have to go to the next base. And when you get around first, right, which is the way it is in mat ball, instead of going home and stopping at home, you got to keep running. Right, so once you leave third base, first base, you've got to keep running all the way around and get to first base. You don't get to stop at home. You have to keep going and running and running until someone gets you out or some three outs in another way. We keep running the bases. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, "From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is past. Behold, the new has come." All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself. He made us right, right? He made us right with God. And then gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors. We are ambassadors for Christ. God makes his appeal through us. Paul says, "We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." So he sends Jesus to reconcile us with him, to make us right with God so that we can be in right standing with God. And then he says, when you are in right standing with God, you then take up that ministry. You take up that job of now helping other people reconcile with God. See, we never just get to home base and stop and say, "I scored," right? That's not how it goes. We don't stand at home base and say, "I scored, give me glory." What we do is we keep running the bases. But this time we run a little bit different. This time we take someone with us. This time we hook up with somebody else and then we help them win within. As a Christ follower, we run around the bases the right way, but we don't stop. We just keep going. We just keep running. In his book, Kevin Meyer says, wherever God has you on the map, God has you on mission. God has uniquely placed you in your world, in your job, in your family, in your neighborhood on purpose. Wherever you are placed there on purpose. You are the ambassador that he sends to your job. You are the ambassador that he sends to your neighborhood, to your family. You are, if you are a Christ follower, you are his ambassador. In Acts 1:8, it says that you will be my witnesses. He didn't say you will be my witnesses if you want to, if you decide to. If you decide to go further in your walk with Jesus, then you'll be my witness. He didn't say that. He said that you will be my witnesses. So your choice, good witness or bad witness, but you're going to be a witness. If you've said yes to Jesus, you will be a witness. You are an ambassador that he sent. So how does that play out? How does that go in life? When I was younger, they called that evangelism. We still call it that today. We just don't use that word very often. But evangelism is simply helping spiritual lost people find Jesus. Helping spiritual lost people find Jesus. And when I was young, the way that was happened was in a very confrontational way. Right? You start a discussion with somebody, you find out the way that they are living, and you notice that they are doing this, 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 and this wrong. And so you tell them, "You're wrong. Let me tell you about Jesus." I don't know about you, but that don't work with me. And I don't know if it's worked with anybody else that you have shared your story with. So rather than telling them how they're lying, cheating, swearing, drinking, smoking, running around with the wrong crowd, treat them with respect. Try your hardest to gain influence in their life, to gain a voice. Because if they don't trust you, if they just think you're judging them, no one will ever listen. No one will ever listen. So if you want to have a voice in someone's life, here's just a few practical things that we can do. Number one, connect with others by giving yourself away. Connect with others by giving yourself away. And here's how you can do that. Number one, you can financially give. right? You can help give in the church where our sole purpose is to speak the truth and to share God's love with people. You can just give to someone individually, right? Someone going through a difficult situation, you can give. You can help them out of that situation. But even more than that, your actions speak so loud. Serving somebody speaks so loud. It means helping someone out who's in need. It means putting your own wants and desires aside to help somebody through a difficult time. That's the heart of God, to give yourself away. That's what God did. Gave his son away to die on the cross for us. So give yourself away. Second thing, get better at what you do. Get better at what you do. Become an expert in your field, whatever that may be. Work hard at it. You know, your influence, your ability to be heard is a lot based on someone else's trust, someone else's respect, and it happens doing what you do. So your job, let's say, be the best you can be at your job. And when you can be the best you can be, you start to gain influence. You start to gain respect at third base. Third thing, add value to others. People who give themselves away add value to others. And when you add value to somebody else, they start to give you value. They start to hear your voice. They start to believe what you say because they know that you care. How can you value somebody else? How can you show them value? So give yourself away. Get better at what you do. Add value. And then accept their invitation. So when you start to gain respect, when they start to know that you care for them, they start to invite you into their world a little bit. You know, they start to let you in. They start to talk to you about important things, about personal things. And so when they start to do that, you accept that invitation by saying, all right, let me sit down, let me listen. Let me hear. Let them know that you care. And then when you get to that place, you might just get to say, well, actually, let me tell you how God has changed my life. When you get to that place, they invite you in. You can say, let me tell you how God has changed my life. Let me tell you what he's done for me. Let me tell you who I used to be and who I am now. Not based on my power, but only based on what God has done for me. I know some of you, and I know you tell your story over and over again. Never stop telling your story. No one can refute your story. Tell people as much as you can. When you gain that influence, tell them what God has done for you. Start there. And then finally, if you get to that point, you can share your story, and then you get to invite them. They've invited you into their life, and now you get to invite them. You become the ambassador that Jesus wants you to be. Nothing we can do while on this earth is more important than leading a person to find and follow Jesus. There's a lot of important things we can do in our life. Nothing is more important than leading someone to find and follow Jesus. That's the first and foremost, the main job you have as a parent. You know, we have to help them. We have to help our children navigate through life, navigate through this difficulty. We have to help them grow up and all of that. But our number one job is to help them find and follow Jesus. That is not solely the church's job. It is our job as parents. Right? The best thing you could ever do for a friend, the best thing you could ever do for a coworker is help them find and follow Jesus. That is the most significant thing. It is the thing that will change their future more than anything else. Maybe you should invite someone to church. Maybe you should just invite them to church so that they can hear the truth that God has for them. Maybe you should just be a sounding board for someone who's going through a difficult time, the crying shoulder, whatever it may be. Maybe at some point you can sit at a coffee shop, grab a napkin, and draw the baseball field and say, this is how God is leading me to go through life. And it's changed everything. It's simple, right? It's simple. Everybody can remember this. Connect, character, community, competence. We know how we're supposed to run the basis and how the world asks us to run the basis. Keep your ears open. Keep your eyes open. Keep watch for who God puts in front of you in order to fulfill the purpose that he has for you, giving him glory and helping them find and follow Jesus. So not only do we need to know we exist for God's glory, but we also need to do what we are created to do. We need to be ambassadors for Christ and take others around the bases with us. And we take them around the bases by helping them win within, right? By being able to tell them God's word and looking at what God wants in life and be able to tell them those things, help somebody through that. We help them to win within. We help them to win with others and living in community and caring for each other. And we just show that. We can show that right here, right? With just the people that are next to you, how we care for each other. Scripture says they will know us by our love, how we treat each other. We can help them win with win results as we are successful with what we do. We help them be successful. And then finally, we get to home and we just keep going, right? We never arrive. We never can stop and just say, all right, I've made it. Because there's a purpose, and that is to take others with us. That's our challenge. That's our challenge. And so many times, we get stuck. We get stuck between the base paths. And we get to this point where we're like, wait. I was easy when I could just work with myself and do all this, but when I had to take someone else with me, I mean, that's way harder. But that's what we're created to do. So let's live in our purpose, but not with our power, his power. Let's pray. Father, I pray now as each of us could take just a minute and we can think through the 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 people that we are closest to. The people in our lives that we love, we care about, but God, maybe we haven't gone all the way around the bases. Maybe we haven't quite fulfilled the purpose that you have for us. Maybe we've been trying to do it in our power. God, may we fall on our face and say, not by my power, but yours. And we can help somebody to know who you are, to know the word, and to be able to have their life changed forever. So God, I pray that you're with each one of us. I pray, God, that you will put people in front of us this week, that there will be conversations, that there will be times where we get to serve, where we get to love, and we get to speak. And we can help people find and follow Jesus. Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. And we ascribe glory to you. We love you. Say my prayer. Amen.